Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. It is about 9 p.m. Eastern time, a little bit before 9 p.m. Eastern. And we are live here on Facebook, and we're going to welcome everybody to get on board here. We're going to go ahead and share this. So give me just a second as we invite some folks in here by sharing this to a couple locations. I appreciate everybody that's going to come on here tonight, take the time out to do this. So bear with me for just a second, guys, as we get this shared out to some locations. If you would, if you know anybody in your family, if you've got some friends, coworkers, whatever the case may be, and they are dealing with a sickness, an infirmity, a weakness, a disease in their body, please tag them and invite them to this broadcast. I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit, and some unified faith in this broadcast, I believe we could genuinely see some folks get healed tonight. So I'm excited about this message. I want to officially welcome everybody that's jumping on here on Facebook Live. If you're watching by YouTube, we welcome you. If you're listening by podcast, we welcome you. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm the founder, the pastor, and the voice, Ricky Scapero, of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. You can find that at remnantrevivalministries.org. Again, Remnant Revival, or actually it's remnantrevival.org, remnantrevival.org. John chapter 5, guys, John 5. Let's get right to this. Again, I appreciate everybody coming on here. I know it's a little late for some of you, but for some of you, it's about prime time. That you guys have come out, you know, you've gotten off work or whatnot, or maybe some of you is getting ready to go to work, depending on where you're joining us from. John 5, I want to talk about it's time to stir up your healing again. It's time to stir up the waters of healing again. All right, let's get into this thing. John 5, 1 through 15, I'm going to read this text and then we're going to go from there. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Somebody say they're waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season, somebody say a certain season, and to the pool and stirred up the water. Come on, somebody do this, stir up the water. And then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. In verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, said, quote, He who made me well said to me, "Take up your bed and walk." And then he asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Father, I ask that you would anoint this word with great power. I pray that the word would be as a two-edged sword. It would go forth. It would not return void. It would pierce the hearts and the souls of those in which it rests upon tonight. I thank you, Father, that your word will be followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. For you said that the preaching of the word is not by word only, but by demonstration of power of the Holy Ghost. I ask that, Father, that those that have joined this broadcast that are sick, that they're afflicted, that they're bound by infirmities, diseases, or weaknesses. Lord, I pray that as their faith is stirred tonight by the reading of the Word of God and by the exhortation of this Word, I pray that they would receive that which they're believing for. And it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I want to point out to you tonight is there was a pool here. We know that in Jerusalem there was a sheep by the sheep gate. There was a pool which in Hebrew is called Bethesda. This word Bethesda means a house of kindness or a house of mercy. I come by to tell somebody tonight that we serve a God that is ever kind and ever merciful. I don't know what you've come tonight to receive from Him. I don't know what you've come with tonight. I don't know what kind of affliction you may have upon you tonight. I don't know what kind of infirmity you've been struggling with, how long you've been struggling with it, and what the doctors have given you or wrote you off or said to you. But we serve a God who is kind and ever merciful. And we serve a God who still heals today. Oh, I said, God, we serve a God who still heals today. He's still Jehovah Rapha. He was the same God that revealed himself as the healer in the time of the Exodus. And he's still the same healer. Nowhere in the Bible did God ever forfeit his right to heal. Never did he strip himself of his healing power. Never did he retire as the healing of Gilead. Never did he stop healing, stop delivering, stop setting free. In fact, it's already been done. According to Isaiah, the prophet said, by his stripes we are healed. And Peter looked all the way back upon the cross and he said, by his stripes we were healed, implying that it was already purchased. It's already been done. It's already been paid for in full. It was done at Calvary. And since it's already been purchased, you can obtain it tonight by faith. Listen, according to the early church beliefs, they taught that at a certain season, listen to me now, at a certain season or a Kairos moment, in this very location in Jerusalem, at this place called Bethesda, an angel of the Lord, which they deemed as an angel of healing, would visit this exact location at a certain season, and this angel would stir up the waters to bring healing to the people who came from all over to be healed and delivered of their infirmities and diseases. See, your Bible says that there was a multitude there. In fact, it says there laid a great multitude of sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, waiting for the water to move. Oh, listen, in case you didn't catch that, there ain't a sickness and there's not an infirmity that's too great or too dire that the Lord can't deliver you and heal you from tonight. But all you got to do is get into the waters. I'm going to elaborate on that in just a second. See, because there was three criterias for receiving your healing at the pool of Bethesda. And these same three criterias are available for us today for healing for us to receive today. Number one is being at the right place at the right time. Let me say that again. Number one, being at the right place at the right time. Number two was being in the water when the angels stirred the water. Number three is having discernment to know when the season was, when the water was either about to be stirred or when it was getting stirred. Because if you go back to John 5, it says that before the waters were ever stirred by the angel, there was a group and there was a multitude that already had discernment to know, come on, that the waters was about to stir. I know where I'm going with this, and I want to preach ahead of me. I want to preach ahead of my notes and preach ahead of how the Holy Ghost gave this to me. So I've got to slow it down a little bit. This is hard for me to do this, but I got to preach this how the Holy Spirit gave this to me today when I wrote this down. See, let me say this. The waters were always stirred during certain seasons. And when the waters were stirred, it produced miracles. See, can I talk to you a minute about the natural aspect of this before we get into the supernatural aspect of this? See, a living lake or a moving stream of water has an inlet and it has an outlet. Let me say that again. A living lake or body of water, whether it be a stream, whatever the case may be. If it's living, means it's moving. And if it's living and if it's moving, it means there has to be an inlet and there has to be an outlet. In other words, there has to be lake water going in and there has to be lake water going out. There has to be an ongoing exchange of the moving of the water flowing in and flowing out, which produces a healthy environment that supports life. Golly. But on the other hand, a stagnant body of water has neither no inlet or it has no outlet. So listen to me. It either has an inlet but no outlet, or it has an inlet it has no inlet but it has an outlet. And if that's the case, the result means it becomes stagnant because it's not moving. It's not living. Oh, and let me just tell you, the word stagnant, when I talk about a stagnant body of water, it means a body of water. Listen to me. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying tonight. A stagnant body of water or an atmosphere in a confined space is called stagnant. It is having no current or no flow and often having an unpleasant smell as a consequence. Golly, let me say it again. A stagnant body of water is a place that has water or an atmosphere that is in a confined space. There's no outflow. It's all about what's on the inside, but it never goes out. It has no current. There's no flow. Come on. There's no moving of the water. There's no activity. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's no excitement. There's no anticipation. There's no faith. There's no moving of the Spirit, if you would. Come on, somebody. And as a result, it becomes stagnant. Listen to this. Here's a secondary definition of stagnant. A body of water showing no activity and dull and sluggish. Have you come? Perhaps you've been into perhaps as a fish, you know, the Bible is there's typologies or pictures in the Bible of different animals and different things that represent different things. And one of the things that represents Christians in the Bible is fish. Jesus told the Peter, James, and John, I'll make you fishers of men. So a fish can be a picture of a Christian. And if we are fish, then when we go to a body, when we go to a church, a gathering place, one of the pictures of that is a body of water. So have you ever been to a body of water that is sluggish, that has no activity? There's no moving of the Spirit. Nobody gets excited. Nobody desires to see the Spirit of God move. They confine the Word. They confine the Spirit of God. They chain the Word of God. They chain the move of God. And it becomes sluggish. It becomes dull. It becomes confined. It has no current. It has no flow. And because of this, it becomes unpleasant. It begins to stink. It becomes stagnant. Stagnant water, listen to this. Stagnant water can be identified by its appearance, which is a nasty, cloudy, and stench. Again, stagnant water can be identified because it is nasty, cloudy, and it stinks. Oh, I love this. And the number one thing that breeds and thrives in stagnant water is mosquitoes. Whew. Ponds become stagnant for one simple reason. Listen to this. They lack the constant exchange of living water that keeps a pond or stream of water or an environment alive and healthy. Water comes in and fills a stagnant pond during a rain or a snow melt, but there's no outlet to keep the pond water fresh. Can I tell you something? Listen, the worst thing we can do as a church is show up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, have a meet and greet, and even the moving, a stirring of the water, but nobody takes what's on the inside and goes outside. It becomes a bless me club. You know what the number one revival killer is? Revivals will start out and they'll be strong and people will come. They'll get refreshed. They'll get reconciled. They'll get saved. They'll get delivered. They'll get set free. They'll get transformed. They'll get healed. Come on. They'll begin to see the miraculous. The waters begin to stir up. But the problem is it becomes an us for no more bless me club. And it becomes a show and tell service. And no one takes, come on, the living water that they receive on the inside and they take it outside. And as a result of that, the pond or the body of water becomes stagnant. It becomes dry. It becomes dull. And after a while, these individuals will become spiritually fat and they'll set on their blessed assurance and they'll become dull of hearing and they'll produce no activity. They don't want to go out and outreach. They don't want to be involved in missionary work. They don't want to go and testify in the streets. They don't want to do anything but just come and get fed and get fat and no outlet. Whew. Now watch this. It reminds me of James chapter 3. I'm going to read this. James chapter 3 verses 10 through 12. James said, and I'm just going to paraphrase this for sake of time. He said, a spring cannot send forth fresh water and bitter water out of the same opening. Did you know that that's the same about a body of Christ and a church? How can you have bitter water and fresh water in the same building? Come on, you're either producing living water or you're producing stagnant water. And when you get a bunch of fish in a body of water that's stagnant, come on, what are you producing after your kind? So then when you go out into the streets, listen, I'm talking spiritually now. If all you have that to withdraw from, that people withdraw out of you, is bitter water, then they are not going to desire what you have. But what if we brought them fresh water? Whew. I got to read this note. This is what the Holy Ghost gave me today. Being in the right church or the right atmosphere is everything. Write that down. You got to write that down. Being in the right church with the right atmosphere is everything. If you're in a church that is not moving and being stirred up by the Holy Spirit, but is set in their tradition, their ways, their cycles, their programs, and their complacency, it will ultimately end up stagnant. Listen, you will not thrive, but you will always be in a constant state of trying to survive and not thrive. That church will begin to decline. It will be powerless. It will begin to stink to the entire community. And they will know that you are not a body of fresh water, but a stagnant pond that once produced living water, but now has become nothing but a wonder when people drive by and wonder what happened. Whew. The atmosphere will produce nothing. Listen to this. This atmosphere will produce nothing but bloodsuckers. Now let me go back. Remember, I said the number one thing that breeds and a stagnant pond or a body of water in the natural is mosquitoes. But did you know that when you get into a dry, dead, stagnant church, that it will eventually be overrun by bloodsuckers? What do you mean by bloodsuckers? I'm talking about, listen, the atmosphere will produce nothing but bloodsuckers. Never, listen, it'll produce people that are never giving, never contributing to the city, never contributing to the church, never contributing to the region, but just sucking the life out of everyone they come in contact with. They suck you dry emotionally, mentally, and physically with all their complaining, their disgruntledness, from being in a lifeless and stagnant environment. If you don't believe that, go read the story of the children of Israel when they were stuck in a dry, dead wilderness and wandered around. And because it was dry and it was barren and they didn't have any food and they didn't have any water and they became impatient, they became disgruntled, they began to gripe, they began to complain, they began to moan and began to take it out on the leadership. So they begin to bite and devour one another. Why? Because it was a stagnant environment. And it's inevitably always going to happen. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. It can rain all around you and you never get wet and stay dry because of the environment you choose to stay comfortable in. And listen, as for me and my family, listen, I don't care if I had to go through 100 churches. I'm just telling you, if I was on your end of the spectrum here, on that side of the camera, and maybe you're searching for a spirit-filled, Bible-believing church that stirs the waters of God, lets the Spirit of God move. If I have to go through X amount of churches to find one that lets the Holy Ghost move, that's what I'm going to do. I refuse to settle for normal and settle for a stagnant pond that never allows the moving of the water, never allows for the Holy Spirit to move. And I know somebody's listening to this by podcast, by YouTube, by Facebook, and you're saying, what does this got to do with healing? I came on the broadcast tonight, or I came on YouTube, or I came on Facebook because I need a healing in my body. Listen, I'm going to get there. And what I've come by tonight, listen, I can't bring you to a pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem physically. I can't bring you to a church physically, but what I can do is ask the Holy Spirit tonight to begin to stir up your faith. Whew. Listen to me, guys. We got to get here. We're going to get here. Here it is. There are many churches you can attend, but can never get healed in. Let me say that again. You can show up on Sunday and they'll preach a good message. They'll give you a good sermonette. You might get some goosebumps. You might feel encouraged. You might get inspired. You might get motivated. But you can't get healed there. You can't get a miracle there. You can't get a breakthrough. You can't get deliverance. Why? Because the water's stagnant. They've stopped up the flow with unbelief. They stopped it up with offense. They stopped it, the water flow, with traditions of men. They've stopped it up with hurts and wounds and bitterness. And the list goes on. False doctrines that they teach the people that God doesn't heal today. Sensationism that it was done away with in the 4th century. And that God gets glory out of your sickness. And all kinds of goofy stuff that stops the flow of God. It stops the supernatural from being stirred up. So, pretty churches are a dime a dozen. Wonderful choirs are a dime a dozen. Eloquence, light shows, fog machines, mega churches, big churches, apostolic churches, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, Church of God, Church of God of Prophecy, Methodist, Presbyterian. They're all over the place. But do they allow the Holy Spirit to stir it up? Do they allow the Lord to come in and stir them up? Do they allow Him to stir up their programs? Does He allow them to stir up their beliefs, stir up their faith, stir up their tradition, stir up their boats? I want to show you something. Notice that in this passage, let me read this scripture. Quote, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred up the water, and whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatsoever disease he had." I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Are you open to the supernatural in your church, in your home, in your study group, in your Bible study, your cell group? Are you open to the supernatural? How desperate are you tonight for your healing and your breakthrough? Are you ready to see a turnaround? Or are you going to sit on the sidelines week after week, month after month, and year after year, and watch everyone else receive their healing, receive their breakthrough, while you sit on the sidelines making excuse after excuse of why you can't get your breakthrough, why you can't get your healing? This is exactly what was going on with this man that we read about here in the book of John. People lined up, desperate. I know that if I can get into the water, if I can get into a place where it's turned. Listen, if a real genuine revival service where the Spirit of God is moving and stirring up, if it's within reasonable driving distance of me, honey, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive out there. In fact, this coming up Monday, I'm going out to Independence, Kentucky to Tommy Bates Church. And I'm going out to a service out there. Why? Because I know that brother lets the Holy Ghost come in. And I know he allows the Spirit of God to stir it up. And they're having a service out there on Monday night. And I'm excited. I'm coming and expecting. Why? Because expectation is the breeding grounds for miracles. Just like a stagnant pond is a breeding ground for bloodsuckers, expectation is a breeding ground for miracles. Where there is a stirring, come on, there can be miracles. There can be healing. There can be deliverance. If we get into an environment where the Holy Spirit is moving and the anointing is flowing, we must discern and recognize that the season is upon us. And we got to get in the water. Guys, listen. There's only going to be a certain group of individuals that are going to get what I'm saying here, right here at this point. But have you ever been in a service where everything kind of feels normal? You're kind of going through the motions. You know, you have to go through things. You have to make announcements. They take up an offering. They do this. They do that. These are things that we call this the outer court ministry. Then we get into the inner court where you start pressing in. You start worshiping. You start praising God. And then all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere begins to change. Listen to me. The whole atmosphere begins to change. The Spirit of the Lord begins to become heavy in that place. And we step into what we call the Holy of Holies. We know His presence is there. We know that the power of God is present there. The anointing is there. And when that happens, listen, it don't happen all the time, but when that window of time, that season, come on, that Kairos moment of time comes, we don't sit back on the sideline and say, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, I know the waters are being stirred, but I'm just going to wait till next time. Because you know what will happen? You'll just put it off, and then guess what? You'll put it off again, and then you'll put it off again, and then you'll put it off again. And instead of pressing in and pushing in and come on and trying to get your breakthrough, trying to get your healing, trying to get your deliverance, trying to get your miracle, you'll become complacent. And weeks will turn into months, and months will turn into years, and eventually you'll begin to own the very thing that God paid the price for you to be delivered of. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm preaching too hard for you tonight. I said, you'll begin to claim and lay hold of the very thing that God paid the price for to get you delivered out of. This is why we begin to lay claim to things. My fill in the blank. I got to get my medication for my fill in the blank illness. My infirmity, my sickness. We begin to lay claim to it and we call it our own. But my Bible says that He Himself bore our sicknesses and took our infirmities. Come on, somebody. So listen to this. We've got to discern when the Spirit of God's moving, when the waters are being stirred, and we need to get from the bank into the water. For those, listen to this, and you say, well, brother, I don't have a church like that. I don't have a home group like that. I don't have a gathering like that. I don't have a Bible study. You don't know my circumstance. I can't go to a church. There is no meeting. There is no church. There is no home group. There is no corporate gathering for me. I'm just here in my living room. I'm here in my office. I'm just in my car. I'm just in my house. Well, I've got good news for you. You ready? In verse 6, it says this. When Jesus saw the man lying on the ground, he knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time. Oh, I got to tell somebody tonight. It's the Lord knows your circumstance. He knows your condition. Hallelujah. He knows your infirmity. He knows your diagnosis. He knows the timeline that you have. He knows how critical it is. He knows that you don't have the money to keep paying for the medications that the doctors told you you got to keep taking or you're going to die. He knows what the doctors have wrote you off and said. He knows, come on, how dire your circumstances are. It's not that it's caught him off guard. It's not that he doesn't know. It's not that it's hidden from him. And it's not that he don't have any clue or inclination of what you're going through. Your Bible says when he found the man lying there, he said he already knew that he's been in that condition for a long time. Aren't you glad that Jesus, even in our valleys, even in our sick bed, even when we're at the doctor, when we're getting the chemo, when we're getting the needle stuck in our arm, when we're going through the bone marrow transplants, when we're getting the blood transfusions, when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, the devil tries to convince us that he's left us. The devil tries to convince us that we're alone. But I've got to tell you, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. For my rod and thy staff, they shall comfort you. I am with you, lo, even into the end of the age. And the Bible says that Jesus looks at him and he says, do you want to be made well? What a ridiculous statement. What a ridiculous question to ask a man who had been in a condition like this for so long. Why in the world would Jesus look at this man who's been in this condition for years after years after years and say, would you like to be made well? Can I answer the question? I answered it already for you. Because listen, a lot of times when we get an infirmity, when we get a sickness, we begin to believe the report of the enemy. We begin to believe the report of the doctors. We begin to believe our feelings. We begin to believe our emotions. We begin to believe what we can see, what we can hear, and what we can feel. Yes, those things are facts, but they're not the truth. The facts may be you may have a sickness. You may be diagnosed with an infirmity, but the truth is by His stripes you are healed. Listen, here's what I want to tell you. I know I've walked through this. I went 15 months, 17 months with an infirmity, and I had to go to the doctor, and I had to keep going, and I had to keep taking antibiotics, and I had to keep taking medications. I became weary and well-doing. So the enemy began to whisper to me in the darkness, this is something you're just going to have to deal with. This is something you're going to have to come to terms with. This is something you're just going to have to accept. You're going to have to lay claim to it, and you can just start saying, my, You could say my infirmity, my sickness, and this began to wear me out and it began to tire me out. So what did I do? I began to press in even more. I began to worship even more. I began to pray even more. I began to intercede even more. I began to get the word of God. And every morning I began to stand on the promises of God. Come on, that are yes and amen in Him. I began to stand on the word of the Lord that says that He wills that I prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. I stand on the word of God that says with long life He'll satisfy me and show me the joy of my salvation. I stood on the word of God that says that He says that if you'll heed my commandments and obey my word and you'll observe to do all that I've told you to do, that I will permit none of the diseases in which I brought upon the Egyptians to come upon you, for I am the Lord God who heals thee. I read scriptures like, oh, come on, somebody. I read scriptures like, by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I was healed. I read scriptures. I began to declare scriptures like he sent forth his word and he healed them. I read scriptures like, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Come on, who forgives all thy iniquities and who heals me of all thy diseases. I began to declare the word of the Lord. And then one day, I chose not to become weary in well doing, but I had to continue to believe that I was going to reap if I faint not. And I got a word. I got a rhema word. I didn't get a logos, I got a rhema. I was declaring the logos, but then I got a rhema word from heaven, and it was from a young girl all the way in Alabama who never met me, didn't know me, but spoke my name out by name to a pastor friend of mine who was there, was getting a prophetic word given to him, and she called my name and said, you have a friend, his name is Ricky, and you are very close friends with him, and the Spirit of the Lord shows me that he's got an infirmity in his body that he's been dealing with for a long time. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to stir your faith tonight. And when he told me this, I began to weep in the car when he told me this. And she said, let's begin to pray and believe the Lord. So that was on March 21st. How do I know that? Oh, honey, when you get a rhema word, you're going to know the day it happened. You're going to know the hour it happened. You're going to know the time it happened. I said, you're going to know the season that it happened. And you're going to have discernment of when it is. So I chose that day not to sit on the timeline. Not to sit on the sideline, but I chose to dive in. I wrote down in my journal, March 21st, it is finished. Now, did I feel any different in my body that day? No, I didn't. The next day, I didn't feel any different, but I kept declaring. I pulled out my journal and I'd walk around in my living room and I'd be saying, Lord, I thank you for that word. I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you. You're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent, but it is finished. It's done. That promise is mine. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. To God be the glory. It's been 6 going on 7 months, and I am healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Praise his name tonight. I'm trying to tell somebody tonight that you got to stop making excuses. And listen, you could say, well, I can't get to a gathering. I can't get to a revival meeting. I can't get to a healing meeting. I can't get to a crusade. Listen, the Bible says Jesus looked at this man and he says, do you want to be made well? I'm going to ask you that tonight. Do you want to be made well? Do you believe he can? Do you believe he's the healer today? Do you believe you can be delivered today? And if you answer yes, listen what it says. The man said, sir, I have no... He didn't say yes here. He immediately came with an excuse. He said, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water's being stirred up. But while I come, another one steps before me. And Jesus... Listen, this is so amazing. Jesus didn't pick him up and throw him in the pool. Hello? He didn't call out to the people and say, hey guys, can you step aside and let this man get in there because he needs a healing? No, he didn't do that. He looks at the man and says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. You know what that tells me? It was all about his faith. That's what it's always been about, friends. Go to the entire New Testament. By your faith, you've been made well. By your faith, let it be done unto you. By your faith, it has been done. He goes to another man and says, you don't even have to come into my house to speak the word and the word only. And Jesus begins to brag on his faith and said, you know what, guys, I've been through all of Israel and I have yet to find faith like this anywhere. It's always been about your faith. It's not about the water. It's not about the angel. It's not about the season. It's about your faith. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be in a gathering. I'm not saying that a move of God's moving. Because if there's a move of God across the street, I want to be in it. I want to dive in the water and I want to be there. But friends, here's what I'm trying to say. God knows your circumstances. God can heal you right there in your living room. He can heal you in your car. He can heal you in your office. He can heal you at work while you're sitting at your desk. You can walk out your yard and stand out in your yard, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for my healing. And he can heal you and not no man touch you. Isaiah chapter 38 is a very interesting scripture. I got to hurry through this, guys. I'm almost done. There's a man by the name of Hezekiah. He's dying. He's sick unto death. The prophet of the Lord shows up at his house and tells him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order. You're going to die. But Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall, began to intercede, began to pray, began to travail, began to weep, began to cry before the Lord. And he began to remind the Lord of all the good in which he did in the sight of the Lord. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and says, go. He tells him to go back to the house of Hezekiah and says, I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears. And surely I will add to your days 15 years. Friends, oh, I come by to tell you tonight, God sees your tears. He sees your prayers. He sees the desire of your heart. Stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to the naysayers. Stop listening to the bloodsuckers. Stop listening to all the negativity. You need to tell the doctor to shut up if you got to and say, you don't know the God I serve. If you still got a vision you haven't seen come, you've got a word that you haven't seen come to pass, you still got a destiny you haven't stopped, then you need to, because something needs to rise up on the inside of you and declare, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord our God. And the Bible said that Hezekiah was healed and the Lord granted him 15 more years. But you've got to get it. Listen, I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Some of you all are so stuck in your tradition. You believe, well, Brother Ricky, you can't lay your hands on me. Or Brother so-and-so can't lay their hands on me. I can't get to so-and-so's healing crusade. I can't get to the revival meeting. I can't drive up to the revival that's going on. There's a man by the name of Nehemiah. I'm sorry, not Nehemiah, Naaman. Naaman had the same mentality. He had leprosy. It was an incurable disease that he was going to die with. And your Bible says that he inquired of the prophet of his healing. And here's what the Bible says. When he inquired of the healing, Elisha comes to his house or sends a messenger to him and tells Naaman, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be made clean. But the Bible says he becomes furious and went away. Indeed, I said to myself, listen to this quote. Here's why he became furious. Quote, he will surely come out to me. I won't have to go to him. He's going to come to me. He's going to stand, call me forward, and wave his hand over me, and the leprosy is going to fall off of me. But instead, he's come to me, and he's told me something that I don't want to hear, and it's going to cost me something, and it's going to cost me stepping out of my comfort zone. Come on. But listen what the word of the Lord says. The servant said, are not the Abinah and the... He goes on and says, are not these rivers Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away in a rage And his servants came and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, go and wash and be clean? In other words, seriously? You're dying of leprosy and you're worried about getting dirty in a river? Come on, somebody. Some of us are so fearful of what somebody's going to think or say that we won't step out of our comfort zone. Somebody, listen, you're watching this by YouTube, by Facebook, or by podcast. And your denomination or your family has taught you that God doesn't do healing today. He doesn't heal. He doesn't perform miracles. And that all that is rubbish, or it's fake, or it's phony, or it's not of God. But listen, somebody's listening to that. You've been told this and convinced this for years and years and years. But deep down on the inside of you, you're a closet believer. You believe deep down inside that God does heal. But if they ever caught you on this broadcast believing with your hands up, ready to receive healing tonight, tears flowing down your eyes, if they caught you listening to this and believing some preacher telling you that God still heals today, it could cost you your reputation. It could cost you a position in your denomination. It could cost you a relationship with a family member or a friend or a church member. But friends, you got to make up your mind. You can either say, Lord, I want healing, but you got to do it on my terms, or you can be like Naaman and say, and receive what the servant said to him and says, listen, you're going to have to choose to be obedient to receive your healing tonight. And this is what that brings me to my last point, and then we're going to pray. Don't go anywhere. We're stirring up faith. That's what we're doing. We're stirring up faith to believe tonight. Here's what I want to tell you. Get ready for the Pharisees and the religious to condemn you for believing for your healing and breakthrough, either before, during, or after. Because here's what it says in verse 10. In verse 10 of John 5, listen what it says. After the man was healed, after the man was made whole, the Jews therefore said to the man who was cured, it is the Sabbath. Notice they didn't care about his healing. They didn't care that he got delivered. They overlooked all this because it was the Sabbath. And it's, quote, not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. And the man answered, said, he who made me well said to me, take up my bed and walk. And they asked him, who's this man who said to you, take up the bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. In other words, I love this. Jesus never sought the glory. He never wanted the fame. He didn't want to get on YouTube. He didn't want to get on Facebook Live. He didn't want to be put in. He didn't want to create a network. He didn't want to be on Christian television. He was just there about doing his father's business. All his motivation was to set a man free who had been sick, who had been in that position, in that condition for a long time tonight. And that leads me to this next point. And this is what I want to do, guys. We're going to pray right now. This is not about me. It's not about our ministry. We're in Teshuvah. This is our third message on Teshuvah. It's time. Listen, we talked about turning back to the Lord on our last message, turning our hearts back to Him, repentance, Teshuvah, turning back to the Lord. We talked about asking the Lord to turn prodigal sons and daughters back to the Lord. Well, tonight, some of you need a turnaround in your health. You need a turnaround in your body. You've been sick like this man right here. You've been sick for a long time in your body. You've laid sick in an infirmity. You've laid sick in this cycle of sickness, infirmities for a long time. And you're sick of taking medication, sick to going to the doctor, sick of getting needles stuck in your body, sick of getting transplants, sick of getting transfusions, sick of going through these cycles. Enough is enough, and you're sick of it. It's time. Listen, here's what I want you to do. I know this is going to sound goofy to some people, but are you serious? Dipping in a dirty river seven times? Why couldn't he have done it one time? Is not one enough? He had to do it seven times? I know this may sound goofy, but I'm going to do all that I know to do. I can't physically lay hands on you, but the centurion man in the Bible said, just speak the word only. And I know that it shall be done. Listen, guys, I'm not Jesus, but I have his word. And his word is life. It's a two-edged sword, and it does not return void. So I want you to lift your hands tonight. Whoever this is for tonight, if you're listening by podcast, lift your hands where you're at. If you're listening by YouTube, watching by Facebook, lift your hands tonight and receive. Step in the waters. Holy Ghost, I'm going to begin to pray right now. Listen, don't spectate. Don't be like them folks sitting on the sidelines and spectating while everybody else gets in the water and dives in. Don't step. All you're wanting to do is get your toes wet. Don't do this. Jump in. Forget about the life jacket. Forget about the raft. Forget about the floaters, the floaties, whatever, the water wings. Jump in. Jump in head first. Jump in over your head. Get into the healing waters tonight. Begin to pray. I want you to begin to agree with me. Maybe you're watching this and you say, I'm not sick in my body. Well, good. Praise God. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Don't just spectate. Don't stand there. Begin to intercede for somebody else. Come on, stand in for a family member that needs healing in their body. Stand in for a co-worker. Stand in for a son. Stand in for a daughter. Stand in for a spouse. Come on. I can't touch your hands physically, but I'm joining your faith tonight. Come on. And I'm asking right now, hallelujah. Lord, I'm asking that you would begin supernaturally to begin the stir, Lord, the anointing, stir up the gifts. Oh, hallelujah. You said there's gifts of healing according to 1 Corinthians. You said that there is the gift of word of knowledge. Lord, begin to stir up that gift right now, Lord, among the people. Stir it up in their home. Stir it up in their car. Stir it up in their office. Stir it up right where their hands are lifted right now. Father, you know these sicknesses. You know these infirmities. I'm asking that angelic help would come tonight. God, I'm asking for the angels of the Lord to be released where these people are. Lord, if there was an angel that came and stirred the waters of Bethesda, surely, Lord, you can send angels. You said, are these not heirs? Are these not ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation who hearken unto the word of the Lord? So we release the word of God tonight. I release the word of God. It says in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 that by his stripes you are healed. I release the word of the Lord that says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes you were healed. I release the word of God in 3 John 2, beloved, above all things, I wish that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I release Psalms 91 verse 14, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you the joy of your salvation. Come on, you got to begin to open your mouth. You can't just listen. You got to participate. The Bible says, if you shall speak unto thy mountain. I can't speak to your mountain tonight. You got to open your mouth and speak to your mountain tonight. You don't pray away a sickness. You don't pray away an infirmity. You command it to go. You take authority over it. The Bible says that you have the power to loose and you have the power to bind. Father, we take authority over sickness. We take authority over infirmities in people's bodies. We don't suggest and we don't ask tonight. We command that power, that sickness, those devils, those demons, that infirmity, we command its power to be stripped away. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of cancer, go in Jesus' name. Blood disorders, blood diseases, go in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, fibromyalgia, central nerve damage, damage in the spinal cords, in the neck, in the vertebrae, go in the name of Jesus. You foul demons of digestive disorders, Crohn's, all these disorders. You know what you, come on, you know what it is. Name it by name and command it to go in the name of Jesus. Command it to go in the name of Jesus. Come on, Crohn's, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. Bleeding disorders, bleeding of the intestines, bleeding of the colon. Go in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for healing someone right now, Father, in their ulcers. Go, ulceritis. Go in the name of Jesus. Esophageal problems, esophageal ulcers, cancer, reflux, GERD. Go in the name of Jesus and come back no more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ringing of the ears. You foul demonic spirit, you deaf and dumb spirit, go in Jesus' name and torment these people no more in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Someone who's got swelling of the tongue, may it go in the name of Jesus. Abscess of the teeth, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that someone is dealing right now with some type of a generational sickness. If you're listening to this broadcast by live, by Facebook, by podcast or the rebroadcast, if you're dealing with a generational infirmity, some type of sickness or disease that's passed on from family member, maybe it's been in your grandparents, from your parents, now it's in, you've dealt with this thing and you've worried yourself sick that it's going to pass to your children. I declare tonight that the power of that thing is broken, it's severed, and as a sign unto you that it will not pass to your children, may you be healed of it. May you not be afflicted with it anymore in Jesus' name. Autoimmune disorders, go in the name of Jesus. Every autoimmune disorder, I don't care if it's related to the skin. I don't care if it's related to the muscles. I don't care if it's related to the digestive system, the blood. Autoimmune disorders, go in the name of Jesus. You foul demons, I command your power to be made renderless, to be stripped in Jesus' name. The word of the Lord says that you have been stripped of your authority, and that the name of Jesus has been given above every name that's named in heaven and earth. That means every sickness, every infirmity, every disorder, every cancer that's been named by name has to go in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I'm asking that you'd stir up the waters tonight. Stir them up, Lord God. Stir them up tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, someone... The word of the Lord says that Jesus spoke to that man and says, after he told him he'd be healed, he said, go and sin no more. Implying that it's very possible that whatever infirmity he had and whatever disease he had was connected to a sin in his life. I declare that somebody's getting delivered tonight. Somebody's getting delivered of some type of sin, some type of stronghold, some type of bondage. Listen, you don't have to have me name this by name. You know what it is. You know what that bondage is. You know what that sin is. And tonight, the power of the Lord is setting you free. The blood of Jesus is setting you free from this thing. The chains are breaking. The shackles are breaking. The darkness is lifting. You are being made set free tonight, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And as you begin to walk in that freedom and walk in that wholeness tonight, you're going to begin to recognize that an infirmity that you've been dealing with will suddenly begin to be lifted off of you. It will dissipate. And come on, as long as you walk in relationship with Him, long as you keep your heart right with Him, keep yourself filled with the Spirit of God, that thing cannot return, and that door will remain shut in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, just pray. He's not done yet. Church, the Holy Ghost is still moving. The Holy Ghost is still moving. Lord, oh yes, hallelujah. Lord, I see that individual that's watching. that individual that's watching tonight, and they represent that denomination, that Bible study, that study group. They represent, they're a representation of that group that does not believe. The majority of that group, the majority of that church, the majority of that group does not believe that you're Jehovah Rapha today. They don't believe in miracles today. They don't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles today. They don't believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost today. But Father, I thank you for such a time as this, for this season. You have allowed that individual, whoever you are, you know who you are. You're watching us tonight and you're feeling a warmth come over you. You're feeling the power of the Holy Ghost, and he's coming upon you, and he is equipping you, and he is going to send you back into your church, send you back into your group, send you back into that fellowship, and you're going to begin to lay hands on the sick. And it's not going to be by power nor by might, but by his Spirit. You're just going to be obedient to lay hands on the sick, and you're going to begin to see people healed. You're going to begin to see people healed and delivered. And when they begin to awe and wonder, and they will, and some of them will even threaten to kick you out. But friends, don't be dismayed, because when those who are healed see and feel and experience the power of the Lord, they will begin to testify of what the Lord has done. Oh, a good friend of mine, his name's Zach, and he's from Indianapolis. He lives up in Indianapolis. When I first met him, we began to work together. He was taught by a certain denomination that the Spirit of God didn't move today, that healing wasn't for today, that miracles wasn't for today. But he got around me long enough, and what was on the inside of me began to rub off in him, and he began to have faith raised, come on, stirred up in him. Faith was being stirred up supernaturally in him, and he began to believe for healing and miracles and signs and wonders for today. Well, listen what happened. He eventually, over time, he ended up leaving first, and then I moved on from my job, but he went back to Indianapolis, took what was on the inside of him that God was stirring up, left the denomination that he was a part of because they didn't believe what he believed, and they gave him the left hand of fellowship. In other words, they told him to get out, but that didn't discourage him. Oh, this is for somebody tonight. That didn't discourage him. What he did was he started a home cell group. He started a home group meeting, and people started coming, and he began to teach that the Lord God is healer. He began to lay hands on. There was a woman there that was diagnosed with lung cancer and had multiple tumors all in her lungs that were cancerous. He laid hands on her and asked her, he said, "Do you believe that God can heal you today?" She said, "I do believe." He laid hands on her and said, "Let it be done according to your faith." The woman felt the power of the Lord go over her body. 2 weeks later, she came back to the group and she says, "You guys got to hear this. And I have proof here that what I'm about to tell you is absolutely true." She said, "They did another." She said, "I began to feel better immediately the next day. I was breathing better. I had more energy. I was more alert. I felt better. I went back to the doctor. They did a full scan, MRI. They did the full nine works. The doctor said, this is very," he said, "I can't understand this. I can't explain this." He said, "Not only," he said, "can I find a tumor in your body?" He says, "I can't find a single tumor in your entire body." Because when they do these MRIs, they light up like a Christmas tree. When the cancer is in your body, all over your body, and spreads, your skin will light up like a Christmas tree. Well, when they did her scan, it was completely normal. Hallelujah. She goes back to the group, tells everybody in the group, "Look what the Lord has done." It so stirred them up by their faith that there was another individual in there that didn't even want to talk about it. But they said, "My God, I'm sick. I need healing." So the woman and Zach began to lay hands on this woman, began to, "Oh, I feel the anointing." They began to lay hands on that woman, and she got healed. And eventually, come on, God was moving right there in his living room. Now I feel the anointing stronger than ever. Somebody, you're getting this now. Who's this for tonight? Somebody, God wants to use you as a conduit, but he's telling you, don't be on the sidelines watching everybody else get their miracle. Step in. Step into the pool tonight. The angel of the Lord is stirring up the waters of healing. He's stirring it up right there behind the camera. He's stirring it up in your living room or wherever you're watching this tonight. He wants to touch you and quicken you. Shoot those hands up and ask him. Ask Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about me, guys. Ask the Lord. Say, Jesus, I believe that you want to heal me. I believe that you want to use me. I believe that you want to send me to do what you've called me to do. Let it begin in me. Lord, I'll be obedient to step out in faith and do whatever you call me to do. And whatever that looks like, Lord, I'm willing. I'm open and I'll be obedient to do it tonight. And I'm asking that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, a prayer language that I can pray with, and Lord, the dunamis power that you told me I could have, that I could be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You told me to go forth, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, and preach the gospel to every living creature. And Father, I choose to step in that tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, this was for somebody tonight. I feel the Lord tonight on this podcast, on this YouTube broadcast, on this Facebook. You say, my goodness, you're a wild preacher. Yes, I am, and I make no apologies about it. Listen, if my sermons bore myself, I don't even want to preach it. You didn't hear me. I said, if I can't get nothing out of what I preach to you, then I ain't going to preach it. I'd rather just sit down and do something else than be normal. I don't want normal Christianity. I want power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So listen, I thank you guys. I know we've went over about an hour. So, first of all, I want to thank everyone for joining us on this broadcast tonight. I want to thank you for the podcasters. Thank you for the YouTubers. Thank you for the Facebook Live. If you would like to follow us, if you enjoy these kind of sermons, these messages, you enjoy our ministry, the information that our End Time Headlines ministry is our information arm. Remnant Revival Ministries is our ministry arm. That's why we always mention both of these. It's two arms working together in unison. Okay, if you are exhorted, you're edified, you're informed, you're blessed by transformation and revelation by our ministry, either by Remnant Revival or by End Time Headlines, and you would like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, we want to give you that encouragement. And listen, we never put a price tag on it. I don't know if you heard the news today, but Benny Hinn stepped out. He was one of the very well-noted prosperity preachers and stepped out and repented publicly for putting a price tag on the anointing, putting a price tag on miracles and putting a price. We don't do that. Any of you guys know us for any sake of time, you know that we never do that. You're never, ever going to hear Brother Ricky say, someone give this amount or X amount. We're never going to do that. What we will say is whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, that we ask you to be obedient to. Some of you, God's going to ask you to partner with us. And it's by your generous support that we're able to do this full time. And it's not just behind a camera ministering on a micro. We also do, we minister at churches here locally in Indiana. In fact, I got a message tonight and we're getting ready to set up another meeting here locally in Indiana. This Saturday or this Sunday morning, we'll be preaching live in Corden, Indiana at Cornerstone Church. Okay, so when you sow into this ministry, you're partaking of that harvest. Every soul that's touched, every soul that's impacted, every seed that's planted, all the miracles, you are contributing to that. You're co-laboring with us. So we want to give you the opportunity. Facebook Live, right there in the description, you can click on that and it's going to take you to a website where you can, it'll show you exactly what to do, where to click and this and that, and it's going to show you all that location. So you guys watching by YouTube, by and listen by podcast, if you hang on to the end of this broadcast, we're going to give you more information on how you can do that. And also, if you'd like to subscribe to push notifications on our main website, End Time Headlines, or on Remnant Revival Ministries, you can do that at endtimeheadlines.org or remnantrevival.org. Both of those are one, again, two arms of the same ministry. And you're going to get all that information as we release that. So we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you guys so much for coming on here tonight. I really, truly believe, listen, guys, that some people got touched tonight. Keep believing, keep praying, keep seeking the Lord. Listen, my wife and I got news tonight about something, and this is not a physical healing, but we've been praying about this for 3 years, that God, when the season was right and the time was right, that he would begin to show us and give us favor about certain doors opening. And that happened today. We got word today. My wife came, shared with me the news, and I said, wow, what a sign from the Lord that a door is opening of transition. So I'm excited. And what I'm trying to say is that, again, you got to be not weary in well doing. Just keep pressing in, guys, and your miracle will come to pass in Jesus' name. We love you guys. God bless. We're going to sign off tonight. And for some of you, we will be on live Sunday morning broadcasting from Cornerstone. We will broadcast that there from Cornerstone. And others, we will see you guys on Monday as we continue our series on Teshuvah. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.